Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 190 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this is program number 292. And if you'd like a copy of it, please have your paper, pen, or pencil ready at the end of the program, and Sharon will tell you four different ways that you receive a copy of it. It's absolutely free. We have it in tape, audio tape, or CD. We have a strong message this evening, and I'm going to ask the Lord to anoint it, but we have music and also testimonials and Bible reading. So stay tuned. It's for your soul's sake that you do. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service from heaven, this heavenly message. Father God in heaven, we thank and praise Your holy name. First of all, that we are given permission, that You're so gracious and so caring that and so loving that You allow us to come before You. We praise You, Lord, that You let us come to You at any time of the day or night to talk with You and make our requests known. One of the prayer that kills prayer is a selfish prayer. So people continuously are coming to You for more money, a bigger car, a bigger house, more clothing, high position in the world, and so on. And this is something that you don't exactly desire. You'd hate, actually, because that kills any request that people are making. The thing that You like, Lord, is a selfless prayer, as our Lord Jesus Christ, He gave the people that were the prophets and the apostles. There are so many things going on in the world that there should be no running out of dialogue when we talk to You. The people are so narrow that they really are not that concerned about world conditions, and the people that have been duped by Rome government, its church cult, and the media. We pray, Lord, that You'll get the people, the boys that are Americans in Iraq, that You'll get them back, and also in any of the other world wars that are secretly being held. 50 countries, hundreds of countries are being taken over by, quote, democracy, unquote, which is nothing more than dictatorship, and it started in Rome. And Lord, we pray that You will bring about an utter destruction of the power of Satan in this world. And we know that You're pouring out Your Spirit upon all flesh through the preaching of the gospel. Your Word is Spirit and it's life. And also You're pouring out Your Spirit, I'm sure, on others as You did me. I didn't believe in You, and You visited me in that office and on many other occasions. And up to this very day, You speak to me and tell me the things that You're interested in for me to tell the public, the people of the world. And therefore, that makes me a world pastor. And this is the Holy Alamo Christian Church, the Holy Tony Alamo Christian Church. The one that calls them the Holy themselves, Holy Roman Church, is nothing more than a cult. They're not holy at all. They're the ones, according to Your Word, that are causing the world conditions today. Every evil abomination on the face of this earth is caused by that cult in Rome, Satan's cult, as you say, Father, and his one-world government and the media. Their position is to destroy all that is good. Everything that is good in this world, they want it destroyed, and they exalt evil. This could only be Satan, Lord, and we ask that You destroy Satan's power, whatever way it is. We pray that the words that you give me in this message today will take hold in those that are involved in the Antichrist regime, and that they'll be saved. That would be destroying the works of Satan, is to divide his kingdom and to have you enter into their hearts, and that they should live closely to you in the kingdom of heaven. It's written that we are to be sitting with you in heavenly places. Lord, I ask that you anoint this service. Open the hearts of those that are unsaved, that they may receive the real gospel, the true gospel. And Lord, also open the hearts of those that are in religions, that they will become born again of the Spirit, because there isn't a religion in the world that can save anyone's soul. It is only through you, Jesus. You came down into this world to create a body, one body, for the Father. You and the Father are one. You, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are one. And you want, when you call us into your kingdom, into your body, you have made us the continuation of your incarnation here on earth. And the job that you want us to do is to do the same thing you did. Preach the gospel that many people will go into one body. Many unsaved will be washed from their former sins, then resurrected by the Holy Spirit, and fitted in each level of place that you want each one of us to be, so that we can form one body for you, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have stated in your word that those of us that are born of the Spirit are the body, and never before have you ever stated that this is a religion. We have to be religious in Christianity, the born-again Christianity, by keeping your word. However, we are not a religion. We are salvationists, and you came to save sinners into this world, and you have recruited us into your body to do the same thing. We are the continuation of your incarnation here on earth. And I pray, Lord, that those that listen to this tape, whether it be morning, afternoon, or evening, or in the wee small hours of the morning, that they will come into the body and do the job, their job that you have appointed for them to do. It's your job. It's that you have given unto them to do. And you have promised that you'll bless them if they do it. Lord, we ask that the souls will be saved and the church will be strengthened in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, now, Fake Springer, he's to me one of the best singers going. And in this song, it's the Father talking to Jesus in heaven. He says, prepare me a body. Prepare me a body, the body of Christ. Go down to earth and make it the body of Christ, the blood-washed, spirit-filled body that will go out and preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand, so that heaven will be here on earth. We're here to divide Satan's kingdom by the foolishness, as the sinners say, the foolishness of preaching the gospel. It pleased God that the world would be saved by the foolishness of preaching the gospel. And when God is saying in this song, prepare me a body, prepare me a body, well, then the Lord answers, I'll go down and die. I'll go down to earth and die. Listen to Fake Springman sing it.
I'll go down and die.
for you and he died for me. I'll go down and die. Prepare me, Lord, one body. Prepare me, one body like a
I'll go down from the kingdom of heaven, Father. I'll go down and die, that my blood will wash away all the former sins of those that are in the world, that they may be in my body. And in my body there is no sin, none whatsoever. And so many people don't know what sin is. They don't read the Word of God to know how sinful even a prayerless life is. So a person that becomes born again, in other words, they enter into the body of Christ, the thirst, the hunger and thirst that comes after we become holy, and we do become holy when we are sitting with Christ in holy heavenly places. The Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That means, in other words, stay here with me, the Holy One of Israel, in heaven, in the Spirit. Because if you're not holy, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So that hunger and thirst, it comes after we become holy. In other words, close to the Lord. In other words, perfect by staying close to Him and walking not after the law of sin and death, but after the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. The law of the Spirit of life in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. So we become holy after we're saved. And after we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, well, then we're walking in the flesh, and the Bible says that when we walk in the flesh, we're condemned. So even though we are in the flesh, we have to have so much of God's Spirit in us that it overpowers the desires of the flesh. Get out of the Spirit and see what happens. There's like Satan moves in like an army. So we must have unbroken fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Savior. Now, it may seem very hard for people to do that because they've never known what it's like to live a holy life. And that's why there's so much false doctrine in the world today that it's okay to be a homosexual. There's far more to being a homosexual than two men having sex together. And we're going to read that in the book of Romans, chapter 1, this evening, to show you that what homosexuals are. Now, I didn't write the first chapter of Romans, and I didn't write anything in the Bible, but I preach it, and the people are supposed to receive it. Now, of course, the lesbians and the homosexuals in the world are going to pitch a fit when they hear this, but this is not to make them believe that if they come to the Lord for salvation that they can't be saved. They can be. But homosexuality is one of the most demanding demons on the face of this earth. People say, well, I was born that way. And I hear preachers that don't know the Word that well to know that God doesn't make people. He doesn't give them the Spirit of life and then let a homosexual demon enter into them. And even if it did, that's why we have a need to be born again of the Spirit. Because if there's any kind of spirit in you that is adverse to the Lord's commandments, well, then we need to be born again to cast that devil out so that you'll be a normal Christian, a born-again Christian. Even Jesus is our Creator and our Savior. After a life of preserving childlike obedience in us, that is to draw us one way, not up towards heaven and then to be a homosexual, to draw up to the kingdom of heaven and be a lesbian, or to be drawn one way into the Lord and then be double-minded. God just draws born-again Christians one way. He won't let you be a Christian and be a sinner. He died to abolish sin forever. Most people say, well, he abolished the law. Well, what that means is that the law doesn't condemn us once we're born again of the Spirit, unless we begin sinning again. Now, there was a man in our church that, there's been several people in our church that were saved. There was a young man named Bill Lever that used to carry a Bible and say, I just want to have a pure heart. I just want to have a pure heart. And we would talk together all the time, and I knew he was saved. And then his parents came and got saved from his testimony, because he used to say that he wanted to crawl up on his dad and beat his brains out with a hammer if he didn't put him in a mental institution. And then he saw his dad, who was the editor, the sports editor of the New York Times, took him to a mental institution and put him in there. And then a few days after that, says, get me out of here or I'll bash your head. I'll come in. I'll escape from here and you won't know when, and I'll come against you. I'll bash your head in. These are the kind of people that we won to the Lord. And Bill, on the night that he was saved, he gave us a testimony that he was went to work for murder for hire. He was going to murder people for money. And then he got saved and he was really saved. And then the Bible says that once you're saved, if you don't do what the Lord says, if you're not, he says, you are my friend if you do everything that I tell you, command you to do. Well, Bill didn't do that. He wanted to go back on drugs. He wanted to be a homosexual. And so he fell away. So the people that are preaching once saved, always saved, don't believe them. I mean, in 42 years, I've seen one person after the other fall away. Then he started attacking our church and making up stories about me. He stood in the courtroom. They went up to the witness stand and sat down and stated that I was keeping two sets of books. I don't have to. I have people that keep books in the church for my own purpose. I want to know what they're spending and how much money comes in. We're all workers. We work and we put the money into the church, and then we have to be careful of how we spend it, because there's so many things for hundreds of people that we have in this in just the churches here in the United States. There's literally hundreds of thousands of people that we have and that we support. And we put out literature all over the place. And so the things that he was saying were absolutely false. And I want to show you what a homosexual is in the book of Romans in the first chapter. One of the things they are is liars. So, you know, it isn't just that they have sex one with another. Because, you know, before I was saved, I could have cared less who you had sex with. My motto was, live and let live. Just do whatever you want to do. I don't bother me with it. But now as a pastor of the Lord, and the Lord has come down and drawn me into his body in one way. And some people never reach to the point where they get indignant over sin. they can, you can have people, you can invite them into their house and they'll start trying to take it over for you. Or you invite them into the church and they want to start taking the church over with you. And this is something that the Lord puts a righteous indignation into me, and I immediately get rid of somebody like that, because they wind up being just like this man that has said all these lies about me. Okay, I didn't keep any set of books. As a matter of fact, he didn't even work in the office. And he may act as one person that says that, and they might have like 10 witnesses. All of them false. None of them ever worked in the office. But I have hundreds of witnesses that I don't even go near the office back then. Okay, so the Lord always draws this, all the people that he wins to his body, one way. But the question arises to people that are double-minded, that don't live close to the Lord. Their question is, quote, will I continue to be faithful to the Lord? Or will I wind up like these people that split backslid from the church and have become part of the Antichrist and are giving their power unto the devil instead of giving their power, their service to the church? When you ask such a doubting question as this, will I remain faithful? There can be no answer come to you until a person believes that the surrender through his life in us is his. You have to know that the life, the immortal life that's in you is the Lord's. And if it's his life in you, then there's no possible way that you could believe that you could possibly fall away. But if you look into the perfect law of liberty, if you look into the mirror, the looking glass, if you look into the Bible, you can see that if you forget what kind of man you were, you read the Bible, you were saved, someone preached to you, and it calls for a continual indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We can keep the conversation going on with the Lord, and we can continue allowing him to converse his word through us, because that's what it takes. But people that live so far away from the Lord, there's this great space, as I mentioned the other day, between the people here on earth and the Lord. And we need to do as the Lord says, pray always, pray without ceasing. And when we do, then we draw closer and closer to the Lord, and we're able to converse with him. And we must thank and praise the Lord that he allows us to converse with him. We can talk to him, and we need to learn that we need to listen to what he says back. Some people just say, Father, 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 Father. If I had a little child like that and it's come up to me and say, Father, 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 I figure I had a retarded child. Amen?
Amen.
And God is smarter than I am. Amen?
Amen.
And so he must think that somebody that would just say, Father, 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 and then the Father's waiting for you to ask a question. Amen?
Amen.
Well, what is it? I said, Father, 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 Father. What is it? Oh, Father, 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 Father. No, you need to plan what you're going to say unto the Lord, and then say it. Amen?
Amen.
And if you can't think of anything else other than Father, then before you start praying, then write the things down that you want to ask him. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We have no rest until we knew that he had received us when we were first converted. So now we feel the need of coming to him to receive from him the assurance that he has really undertaken to keep us by the power of his resurrection life. You have to have faith. You must believe that the Lord has saved you because he doesn't want you to go to hell. And he wants you, he appropriated you to become a member of Christ's body. He appropriated you so that you could be a member of his bride, the New Jerusalem. The Christians, again, I'm going to say, must be made not in their own image, in their own strength. You cannot do it in your own strength. That's why the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit, so that we can get before him by his Spirit, united with ours. But in a power that was bestowed by a glorified Lord. That's how we get to the Father. Amen?
Amen.
He will not only keep you for the future until eternity. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not a con artist. He's not going to con you at all. He wants you to trust him. Have faith in him, and to know that you don't know what he's about to do with you. He's liable to give you the biggest ministry in the world. And you say, well, I'm crippled, or I'm not whole, I'm broken to pieces from the war. I've had an arm shot off. I said, listen, the Lord shows his strength in weakness. Amen?
Amen.
And remember always that in heaven you're going to be 100% whole. If your eyes were shot out, look at I'm considered by the government legally blind. I could actually be receiving blind pension if I wanted to, but I don't, because I am legally blind with my physical eyes, but I've got 20/20 vision spiritually. But he must first make possible for us this surrender of faith that expects the faith enough that expects future power from the Lord on a daily basis, from day to day. You don't have to wonder if you're going to be faithful to him. You need to know that you are going to be faithful to him, and you're going to make it happen by staying before him in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to expect that God is constantly going to give you power every day, because he says he was. If you'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you with his power. If you'll lose the expectation of that, if you begin not believing that, well, then you're not going to make it. Make it where, Tony? You're not going to make it into heaven. Because you must trust the Lord. It was in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ himself that they were able to present themselves to him, we that were lost. And now we can present ourselves to him. Now that we're born again, even when we were sinners, we were able to present ourselves unto the Lord for salvation. And now that we're saved, don't you believe that we're now his sons and daughters? He gives us the power to become the sons of God, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
And so you should expect that the Lord is true. Because if you don't, then you think he's a liar. Every Christian, please only believe that there is a victorious life, please. It's a victorious life. You're not alone. Christ is with you, in you, with the Father by the Spirit. The great conqueror, the victor, is your Lord, who will undertake for you in everything and will enable you to do all that the Father expects from you. Well, how do I know what the Father expects of me? Just stay in the Spirit. Stay close to in prayer to the Lord. And the Lord will show you eventually when it's the perfect time to show you. He first wants you to believe him. To expect on a daily basis that he's with you. You must know that he's in you. People say, well, I'm a born-again Christian because you go to church. That isn't it. You need to know that he's in you, whether you're in the church or not. So you need to be of good courage. Will you not trust him to do this great and mighty work for you? The Bible says, by faith we're saved, and by doubt we're damned. He who has given his life for you and has forgiven your former sins, you don't believe he's going to do that for you? Okay, so what you need to do, I remember when we were kids, I dare you to do this. I dare you to do that. I dare you to jump out of this building. Bernie, Tony. Well, it's only two stories up, so I ran and jumped, and I almost knocked my teeth out. But that isn't what the Lord is asking you to do. Only dare. Take a dare in his power to surrender yourself to the life of those who are kept from sin by the power of God, because they lay long time before the Lord in the kingdom of heaven. They sit with him in heavenly places. Therefore, the power of sin, they are kept from it. The Lord said, if you do that, he'll keep you from the hour of temptation in the world. You're totally immune from temptation when you're before the Lord all day and all night. Along with the deepest conviction that there is no good in any of us until we get filled with God. Because in our flesh there's no good thing. Doesn't the Bible say that?
Yeah.
So we must be filled with God, the Father, with Christ the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, which is the triune God, which is Christ, confess that you see in the Lord Jesus all the goodness you need for the life of a child of God, for a son of God, or a daughter of God, and begin literally to live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. You know where that is? That's in Galatians 2:20, chapter 2, verse 20. Many people are absolutely afraid of perfection. But the Bible says that we have to be perfect. We have to be without sin in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. So this involves people. And people are going to get into the kingdom of heaven. It involves you giving yourself totally, wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, to the Lord. They won't have anything to do with it, with sin, or these people will not have anything to do with perfection that will not make it into heaven. But if you will study the Word of God, you will come in contact with the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This is what the Bible says, and a small conviction. Maybe, that is, if you lay before the Lord. If you're not laying long before the Lord in prayer, then you don't get convicted. Your conscience becomes seared with a hot iron, and you can't, your soul has been desensitized. And this is when Satan devours you. You may be taken by, you may be swept up by a message from the Lord, which you will be convinced how entirely true the teaching is according to Scripture. There will be no word about sinlessness in the flesh or in man. What it is setting forth of how Jesus can keep a man with a sinful nature from sin. our bodies are have sinful natures, and so this is why we need to be holy. We need to stay close to the Holy One of Israel. We need to be sitting with him in heavenly places. We have to be in prayer with him. That's why he says, pray always. And Paul said, pray without ceasing. Because it's for your soul's sake. Your soul is going to spend eternity somewhere, either heaven or hell, in the lake of fire. The light will shine in your heart if you mortify your sinful flesh by walking in the Spirit. Those who have always been considered tender Christians will come in touch now with a new experience of what Christ is willing to do for you or anyone who gives himself entirely to Jesus, to the Almighty God. So let's listen about this from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Quote, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, unquote. I'm sure when I say that, it is absolutely possible for those who really are willing to count on the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to keep them, to lead a life in them, which is his own. Which is the Lord's own. If the Lord is in you, then who could be against you? Amen?
Amen.
It's because you and he are one. But you have to do something too. All these people say Jesus did it all, and you don't have to do it. Yes, you have to draw nigh unto him so that he can draw nigh unto you. You have to read the scriptures. The Bible says to study, to be a workman approved, a rightly dividing the word, that you be not ashamed. The Lord promises, and his promises are taken as they stand, or else. And we are bound to be true. It is possible to cast all of our cares on him daily and to enjoy deep peace in doing it as well. It is possible to have the thoughts and imaginations of our hearts purified in the deepest meaning, in the deepest sense of the word, through faith that we have to pray always, through faith that we have to pray without ceasing, through faith that we must be sitting with the Lord in heavenly places. It is possible for us to see the will of God in everything and to receive his will, not with drudgery, but with singing and praising and thanking the Lord. It is possible in the inner man life of desire and feeling to lay aside all bitterness, wrath, anger, and evil speaking every day and every hour, the Bible says. It is possible by taking complete refuge in God's divine power to become strong through and through, so you'll find that the things that formerly upset all your resolves to be patient or pure or humble furnish you today on an opportunity through him who loved us and works in us in agreement with his will and a blessed sense of his presence and his power to make sin powerless in us. Sin is powerless. These things are divine possibilities. that, you know, they're possibilities. You have to take hold of them. If you say, well, will it happen for me? Yes, it will. But you have to believe that. All things are possible, but there's one condition to that. All things are possible, but you have to only believe. Amen?
Amen.
And because they are His work in us, the true experience of all these things from the Lord will always cause us to bow down before Him at His feet and to learn to hunger and thirst and long for more and more of Him. Him what? Him is power. Him is wisdom. All wisdom and power belongs unto the Lord. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to Him. Amen?
Amen.
So more of Him, more of His power. So that you can not only keep your New Year's resolutions, but that you can keep the Word of God and keep yourself powerful in the Spirit. We cannot possibly be satisfied with anything less than each of these things each day. Each hour, each moment in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit to walk with God. I'll walk with God. I thank and praise the Lord that a life of victory is absolutely, positively sure for those who have a knowledge of their inward ruin. If you have a knowledge of how sinful you are and how necessary it is for you to get close to the Lord to have His power in you, you have to believe. Amen?
Amen.
All things are possible. It's a possibility if you believe that you have to pray always and stay before Him and sit in heavenly places with Him and listen for His voice. Don't just talk to Him and not listen for His word to come back, because God who formed the tongue, does He know how to talk? Yes, of course He does. He that made the eyes, can He not see?
Yeah.
He who made all the different languages, he can speak. I mean, I hear Him talk all the time. It's not a overactive imagination. I really hear Him. How do you think that I'm guided to do these messages? Their inward ruin. We have to know that if we don't stay close to Him, that we're hopeless sinners. All of us. But we're not if we stay close to Him. We're perfect. But who, in the confidence of despair, have looked to Jesus? Who then have looked to Jesus in faith in His power to make the act of surrender so possible for all of us? It's just a matter of your will. If you will make yourself, give yourself totally surrendered unto the Lord, well, then all things are possible. They have done it, people that are the prophets and the apostles, and they were men just like we were. They done it. They have done it in His might, though, not theirs. And now rely on Him alone. Nobody else. Him alone every day and every hour. And now, I could go on for, I've got many, many much more things to preach here, and I would that we have time, but we're running out of time, and so we're going to read a couple of testimonials here, and then we're going to get immediately, maybe only one of them, because we want to read some of Romans, as I promised you, the first chapter. Go ahead.
Okay. This is from Wood River, Illinois. To Tony Alamo, a last name that you have and residing in Texas, what can I say but remember the Alamo? Now, I'm serious. I read an article, Dry Bones, in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch newspaper that I subscribe to.
He was kidding, and then he says, okay, now I'm serious. So he read an article in the newspaper, all right? Then what?
Now that you have my attention, please start sending me any or all of your publications, including the booklet Messiah. I will be reading everything you send me. I am not a lost soul, just a believer who wants to learn all I can before Jesus comes back to a disgraceful world and the men who control it.
Yeah, he just wants to get closer, to draw closer and closer to the Lord, so that he has total power, the Lord's power in him, because this man realizes that he wants to learn as much as he can so that he can have the power. So these passages here will help him a lot. This is around the 8th or 9th message that I've preached on this particular subject of knowing for sure that you have power, the power of God. Okay, then what?
Thanks, Paul, from Wood River, Illinois.
Okay, Sharon, let's get into the first chapter of Romans.
Okay, we're starting at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
See, so those that pretend to be Christians, they say they're Christians, but they're unrighteous. And they don't believe that there's power in God because they don't pray. They don't get, they don't strive. They don't riddle themselves up to the throne of God. Then what?
Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful.
Yeah, they didn't pray to him. They didn't go up to the throne with thankfulness that he gives us the opportunity to talk to him and commune with him. Then what?
But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man.
So this is those that say, there's people that say there's no falling away. What do you think this is right here that the Bible's talking about, that God is talking about? Then what?
And to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
Lesbians, then what?
And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another.
Homosexuals, then what?
Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient.
That's a mind that's been rejected by God. A person that's been rejected by the Lord. Then what?
Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness.
So these people, the homosexuals and lesbians and all those like that, are full of all unrighteousness. Everything they do is unrighteous. They're liars. Keep going.
Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy.
They're malicious and full of envy. And then what?
Murder, debate, deceit.
Murder. If you hate a person of the Lord, that's murder, just even hating them. Then what?
Debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful.
Those are homosexuals. So, you know, this is what God said.
Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Like, for instance, the United States government, they have pleasure in homosexuality. And they even tell you that they're going to take your tax-exempt status away from you, as though there is no separation between church and state if we don't allow them to run rampant in our churches. But we ought to obey God rather than man. The people in government many of them are homosexuals, and therefore they feel it's very wise to take pleasure in those that commit such things. Liars. Well, we know that there have been many of them that have swore to the American public that they didn't have oral sex with a woman, and then they had to later admit it because there was so much proof. I wonder about these people in government. They're fashioning a government from Rome. It's Rome that's telling them what to do, and they're fashioning a government together that pleases the homosexuals. My time is up. Let's all pray together that the Lord will save your soul now. Everyone, come on. Ask the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I praise and thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. I just praise and thank the Lord right at the throne of God. And receive his power in Jesus' name. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I share and tell him several ways to receive a copy of program number 292.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, now steal away to Jesus. This is Peg Springlin again. That means get up there and pray and stay there, okay? Steal away.
Steal away.
Christ.